You calm my raging sea. You walk with me through fire and heal all my disease. I trust in you, Lord, I trust in you. I believe you're my healer. I believe you are all I need. Lord, I believe, and I believe that you're more than enough for me. And Jesus, you're all I need. And you hold my every moment. And you call agency. You walk with me through fire and heal all my disease. I trust in you, Lord, I trust.
I believe you are all.
了你，I believe you're my portion, I believe you're more than enough for me. Jesus, you're all I need, you're more than
So in all of this, we decree and we declare that we are never alone. And we decree and we declare that Jesus is always with us and that he is our healer. He is our very present help in time of need. That though the walk may seem hard, that he is there. And that when we cannot walk, he carries us through. He lifts us up. He's always reaching down. He's always within arm's reach. You know, when we see Peter walking out of the water towards Jesus, when he starts to sink, he cries out to Jesus. And Jesus doesn't say that he rushes to Peter. He says that he reaches out to Peter. He was within arm's reach. He was almost there. He was within arm's reach. So when it feels like you're sinking, when it feels like there's no wind in sight, when it feels like that all you can see are the wind and the waves coming against you, Jesus is within arm's reach. You don't have to try to swim through the water to get to him, and he doesn't have to rush back to you. He is within arm's reach. Because if you read in the book of Psalms, it says, goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life. You look at the full translation of that, it says, surely goodness and mercy rush after me all the days of my life. So that means that they are always with us and always within arm's reach. Within arm's reach. Oh, praise God. Give God a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Kind of want to get a shirt that says that, within arm's reach. Praise God. Pastor?
Great job. Bless you. Thank you. Bless you, Brother Justin. Hallelujah. Aren't you thankful for the words of those worship songs, but also the words of encouragement that Brother Corey just imparted into us? That is so true, within arm's reach. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. Pray with me just for a second. Father God, we love you. We honor you. We magnify your name. Lord, we thank you for who you are and what you are. We thank you for your wonderful presence. Lord, we recognize and realize that there's many needs in this service this morning. There's many directions that we could go. And Father, just because we've got something in our heart, we don't want to miss you. We want to get in the flow of your spirit, because in the flow of your spirit, there's healing in your wings. There's answers to questions. There's solutions to every problem. This is your church service. We're your people. We say yes to you. You just lead, God, and we'll follow. We thank you that we can hear your voice and we can follow that voice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. If you would, open up your Bibles to the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 16. We're going to have a baptism immediately after service this morning. That's exciting. Amen. It's always exciting when you have somebody who wants to show on the outside what has happened on the inside. for our text, if you would, Mark chapter 16. Let's start reading at verse 15. Mark chapter 16, verse number 15. When you're there, say amen. Notice red letter here in just a second. Jesus starts speaking. It says, and he said, Jesus said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to some people. Everyone, right? No one's left out. He that believeth and is baptized might be saved. Shall be saved. Hallelujah. But he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Say, that's me. I'm a believer. I'm a believer. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. But I want you to concentrate there what he said on verse number 16. Faith causes a reaction. Faith causes a reaction. He said, and he or she, no gender intended, that believes that they're what? They're going to be baptized, right? And they'll be baptized, and they shall be saved. But he that believeth not, he or she that believeth not, shall be damned, shall be judged. Brother Donnie, would you pray? Yes, Lord. Amen and amen. Thank you, Brother Donnie. You may be seated. Thank you for standing and honoring the Word. So, this morning, there's so many different ways that I feel the Spirit of God tugging. You see, each one of you, you come here this morning, and there was something on your heart. And what's on your heart is so mindful to the Holy Spirit. The Lord is interested in what you're interested in. He wants to help you. He wants to help me in all of our situations. So we're not going to have a sermon that's laid out point by point by point, because we can't do that, because the Spirit of God's going in too many different directions. But we're here today, and I want you to concentrate on that, those songs that we sang that we heard this morning. We're saved from a devil's hell to go to God's heaven. Amen. That's what they were singing about. But we've got a Jesus now that will help us walk out every day and to live out of heaven. Because the book of Ephesians says that you and I, we're seated in heavenly places. Amen. We're here on earth, but we're in heaven. Because Christ is the head and we're the many-membered body. So as we're talking about baptism this morning, I want us to see a God that is so interested in you this morning, so interested in me, He's going to go to exactly where you're at. And He's the kind of God that will leave a group to go to one. I am so glad that not just one day, but every day, Jesus comes to where I'm at. Amen. He comes to where you're at. Open up your Bibles to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 8. Very familiar verses of Scripture that are so powerful when we apply them to our lives. Now here we've got Philip. Now I want you to see, Philip was a man that loved Jesus. And God called him to be a deacon. Now we've got deacon all turned around today in the church. The deacon that God ordained was somebody who took care of the church as an attendant. They kept the church going. Remember, the original deacons, their job was to feed the people naturally, where the ministers could take care of the people spiritually. But he was so faithful in that role. And he was so full of faith and had such a hunger for the things of God that when he saw what God was doing through his fellow deacon, Stephen, and he saw Stephen lose his life for serving Jesus, he said, Lord, I'll make myself available to help where Stephen is no longer able to help. And so all of a sudden in this 8th chapter, God calls him out of that role and he makes him an evangelist. This morning, you don't even know, I don't even know who we really truly are. We think we know who we are in the natural. We've got a title in the natural. We've got a name given in the natural. But you know, the Bible says that one day in the book of Revelation, Jesus said, you're going to know your new name. Your name that was from the very beginning. Hallelujah. See, you're not who you think you are. I'm not who I think I am until we get to know Jesus. And we get to know Jesus, then your name evolves and you start becoming all he's called you to be. So all of a sudden, here's a man that went from being waiting on tables to becoming an evangelist. And God uses him. He sends him to Samaria and he goes down to Samaria and it's the greatest revival that the world had ever known under that time. Now I don't know about you, but when I start something, I like to finish it. But see, God had something else in mind. God called Peter and John down there to finish the work that he had started. And all of a sudden, he sends Philip out to do something different. Let's start with verse 26. Acts 8:26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip. Ain't you glad that there's angels all in this room? Yes. Now Matthew 18:10 says that you have your angels. Amen? So you come this morning and you brought at least two with you. I brought at least two with me. But there's a whole host here that were helping us worship. There's a whole host here that wants to bring healing. There's a whole host here who wants to bring deliverance. There's a whole host here who wants to give you a word. Now, I know what Scripture says. We're staying within the bounds of Scripture. Romans 8 tells us very clearly, those who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons and the daughters of God. We're led by the Holy Ghost. Amen? But sometimes God will speak to us supernaturally through other means. Here Philip is, and he sends the angel of the Lord. And we could get into a doctrinal thing there we want, but anyway. Sends the angel of the Lord to him, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Now this is the kind of God that you serve. Here Philip is, he hears a word from the Lord. And that word is, I want you to go to Gaza. Well, where he's at, there's two ways to Gaza. But the Holy Ghost says, I want you to go the way of the desert. I want you to go the way of the least traveled. I want you to go to the way that you won't have to worry about meeting too many people. Why? Because there's going to be a man that's going to be going back to his home country who's been here worshiping, and he's going to go back the way of least noticing, least resistance, because he don't look like everybody else. He don't act like everybody else, and he didn't exactly fit in. But I know where he's at, and I'm going to send you there. Now, think about that this morning. Each one of you right now, the Holy Ghost has done gave me some certain situations in people's lives. God knows your heart. He's concerned about where you're at. And he's going to go where it takes to get to where you're at this morning to meet your need. Amen? That's the kind of God we serve. Oh, he's a powerful God and he's a loving God. And there's nothing that you and I can do that would separate us from the love of God. Amen? He said, I want you to go to Gaza. Gaza, fully translated, instead of only transliterated, it means strong. Strong. See, the devil has strongholds in this earth. The devil has strongholds in our life. Remember what Paul said? But our weapons of warfare, they're not carnal. They're spiritual. Mighty. Through the pulling down of strongholds. Who's he talking to? He's talking to the church. So we don't need to act all high and mighty or not be honest with one another. I've got strongholds, but I've got a Jesus that can demolish strongholds. Amen?
Amen.
And he's going to meet me where I'm at, even if nobody else knows the direction I'm going. Amen? That's our God. Oh, that's how special He is. That's how special we are to Him. Now, I want you to, just as a side note, we don't have time to look at it, but in the book of Judges, chapter 16, in the first three verses, we have how God prepared this ahead of time. God sent Samson down to Gaza, and Gaza went down. He went down to Gaza, Samson did, and he went and he grabbed the city gates. Come on, we all heard the story. He grabbed the city gates, and he just didn't take care of the gates. He took care of the poles that they were hanging on. He took care of the locks. He picked them up. Come on now. This is a gate that was huge. That we could go into converting the cubits into pounds and all this stuff, but we'd lose it in translation. But he picked it up and he carried it 38 miles from Gaza, however you want to say it. The number 38 in the Bible always means slavery. He went to where slavery was. He opened the gate and he tore it down. So now see, everything that happens in the Old Testament is a type to show us what Jesus wants to do in the New Testament. So Philip just walks into this place because the gate has already been opened. Jesus has come. He is the one who opens the gate. Amen. He said, I open the door that no man can open. I shut the door that no man can. Come on, that's our God.
Glory.
So he walks into the place that's already been prepared. And I want you to see the power of our God in this. And he arose. He heard the word of God, verse 27. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch. Be careful with modern translations. Got to be very careful what you say, but be careful with modern commentaries. We know what a eunuch is, okay? It's not what they say it is today. I can take the Bible and take it out of context and make it say anything I want it to say. But that doesn't mean it's the truth. Amen? And he arose and he went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a man of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all of her treasure, had come to Jerusalem to worship. Now think about this. He is the same as under the... Candace is not a name. It's not a proper name. It's a title. So he would be the same as number three in authority. The king, the queen, and then there he was over all the finances. So imagine the power and the prestige that he had, but yet he wants to go to Jerusalem to worship the true God. Because it doesn't matter what you've got in this life, doesn't matter what I've got in this life, if I don't have Jesus, I don't have anything. Amen? And sometimes we are going to have to step away from some things and go to where God's at. Thank God, God will meet us where we're at. But he always wants to elevate us. And he wants to take us to that next place in him. Amen? Notice what it says. I love this. The Spirit of God, the angel of the Lord, spoke to him. He arose and he went. Verse 28. Ethiopian, he was returning and he was sitting in his chariot. And he read Isaiah the prophet. Now this is so critical that we get this. Here's Philip. He's coming from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a 100-mile journey. A 100-mile journey. I want you to think about that. But yet God times it out for him perfectly. That's our God. You're welcome. That's our God. He's walking 100 miles, but yet he meets the chariot at the place of water. Right on time. This morning, God's not too late. What do you need this morning? What is God wanting to do in your life this morning? God's right on time. And you're here. God's here. So the possibilities are endless, because our Bible says, for with God, all things. Hallelujah. He sat in his chariot and he read Isaiah the prophet. Isaiah simply means God has saved. He's reading about a God that wants to save. That's the God today that wants to save in your life, save in my life. Amen? Now let's think about this. He has a scroll that he's reading from. Now you and I, we've probably got 10 or 12 of these laying around the house. We never think anything about it. You realize that scroll cost him no telling how much money. Maybe a half a lifetime to save up to buy it. But that's how important it was for him to have the Word. How important is the Word to us? Amen? But he had the Word, but he didn't. See, this morning, every one of you got the Word. Because the Bible says in Romans 12:3, when you got saved, when I got saved, God dealt to every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, the measure of faith. That's this. That's the Word. But just because you have it, don't mean you understand it. Doesn't mean I understand it. Amen? So let's see what happens. The Spirit said, all of a sudden it went from being directed by the angel of the Lord to be directed by the Holy Spirit, because this is critical and this is personal. The Spirit of the Lord knows every thought that you have. He knows every question that you've got, every one that I've got. And that's what we need. We need a God that understands us. Amen? And so this God in the Spirit, the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to his chariot. Now, I want you to think about this in your mind's eye. How could we apply that to us today? That would be like you and I walking outside in this parking lot, and we walk out in this parking lot, and you label the most fancy vehicle you can think of, the one that means the most to you, the one that has the highest price tag. You label it and you sit it right out there, fully decked out. That's what it looked like to Philip. But the Spirit of God said, I want you to go, and I want you to go and join yourself. That word join, it means to become one, to be glued together. See, we can't ever help anybody unless we become a part of where they're at and where the Lord wants to take them. Amen? Jesus Christ was always moved with compassion. All right. I love this. The Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. Verse 30. And Philip dragged along, thinking about whether to go. Philip ran thither to him and heard him, and he heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? We got to be quick to be obedient. See, there's a time and a season for everything. In God's Word, there's chronos time, which is you look at your watch and you look at the seconds go by. That's chronological. That's chronos. There's kairos. Kairos is the set proper time. It's the time that the Holy Ghost wants to do something, and he wants to do it right then. Delayed obedience is disobedience cloaked. So he heard him say that, and he went and he quickly asked him a question. See, that's what Jesus always did. They'd ask Jesus a question, what would he do? He would answer their question with a question. Because that's the way to get you to think. That's the way to get me to think. Amen? He said, do you understand what you read us? And he said, how can I except some man guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. You realize there's a lot of people this morning, they would love to be sitting where you're sitting in Christ. Remember what I said earlier, Ephesians chapter 2, you are seated in heavenly places in Christ. We need to take them to that place, amen, by the power of the Spirit, by the revelation of Jesus Christ. He said, I need somebody to guide me. This word guide is the same word, if you look it up in John 16:13, I believe it is, talking about the Holy Ghost. He will guide you into all truth. He will teach you what you need to know. But the word guide is from the prime Greek word, which means to be a conductor. A conductor, he may have 100 people, and all 100 people are watching him, and they're playing off of what he's doing. Can you imagine this morning if every one of us in this place looked to the Holy Ghost, the conductor, and each one does our part that he shows us to do? Can you believe what would be accomplished for the glory of God? Amen? Oh, hallelujah. He said the place of the scripture which he read was this, talking about Jesus. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before the shearer, so he opened not his mouth. Isaiah 53, verse 7. See, you and I, we had no hope. We were lost and undone. This Ethiopian was lost and undone. He had the Bible, what you would call the Bible of his day, but he didn't have Jesus. This morning, I dare say, might there be somebody here that has a Bible, but they don't have Jesus? I know what it was like. I had a Bible. I had all kinds of Bibles that my grandmother had bought me that had never been cracked open. But I didn't have Jesus. Verse 33. In his humiliation, talking about Jesus, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life was taken from the earth. We understand. Verse 34. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet, this of himself or of some other man? Verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth. See, the greatest thing that God ever gave you and I was the ability to speak the truth. The ability to speak. See, you and I were to be like Adam. Adam opened up his mouth, and everything that he named, that's what it become. That's the way it's for us to be today. We are to name and call things the way that God calls them. So Philip opened up his mouth, and he said, I'm going to tell you. I'm going to call Jesus out before you. I'm going to guide you into who Jesus really is. See, there's so many weird things that's going on in the world today that tries to tell what Jesus is. Let me tell you, Jesus is the sinless Lamb of God. That's who Jesus is. Jesus was born of a virgin by the Holy Ghost. He was without sin, spotless. And he went and he died in your place, in my place, that we could call on him. And the Bible says, for whosoever, Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's what's fixing to happen to this Ethiopian. He's fixing to hear this message from Philip. Because Philip opened his mouth. Now sometimes it's uncomfortable to the flesh. Because we got to tell people some things that they don't want to hear. But in their spirit, they really do want to hear them. Amen? Then Philip opened his mouth, verse 35, and beginneth the same scripture, and he preached unto him Jesus. I love that. I get so discouraged sometimes when you try to watch television or internet preachers or whatever, they want to preach to you everything but Jesus. How good everything's going to be. How blessed you're going to be. All of these things are they want to preach their denomination. Hey, guess what? Denomination means division. The Bible says there's no division in the body of Christ. There's no division between God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and there's not going to be any division between us and Him. Amen? Amen. Let's preach Jesus. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Jesus said, what I do, it's not my ability and my works. I look into heaven and I see what the Father wants done on earth and I do it. I hear what the Father says in heaven and I speak it. That's Jesus. It's not about, boy, you better come to church every time the doors open. You better pay your tithes every time and your offerings. You better pray this many times a day. You better do this. You better do that. No, you let Jesus be the Lord of your life, and all of those other things will work themselves out. Amen. Now, we are to come to church. Hebrews 10, 25, and 26 tells us, don't forsake gathering yourself together, assembling yourself together. We're to come to church. But don't let some man put you in a box. Let Jesus make you free. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and I'll teach you the truth, and the truth that you become disciplined in, John 8, 31, 32, it'll make you free. John 8, 36, whom the Son makes free is? Amen. That's what's going to happen to the Ethiopian. Amen. Verse 36. Notice what happens. And when they went, and as they went on their way, they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Don't you love it? What Philip told him was so powerful, it was so real. He preached Jesus to him so much that he saw him, he understood him, and he said, because Jesus was baptized and he's my example, Mark 1, Luke 3, Matthew 3, we don't have time, all three shows of Jesus' baptism, you and I, we need to be baptized. Amen? We need to follow his example. Jesus said, if I believed and was baptized, I would be saved. Now, we're not calling baptism a work because it's not a work. You can't be saved by works. You are saved by Jesus. Your faith in him. That's exactly right, Brother Zach. Come on. By grace, through faith. Amen? But he heard Jesus so well. It was so powerful. It was so strong. That he said, I want to be baptized. I want to be baptized. Now, in this 8th chapter, look what Philip says, verse 37. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe. How many believers we got this morning? Come on. Hallelujah. You realize when we raise our hand and we testify that we're a believer, that means we qualify for every promise that's in here. That's all God's looking for. If man believes, all things are possible to him, to her that believeth. Now, this is important this morning because God wants to do some things in your life this morning. Some of you need healing physically this morning. Some of you need healing emotionally this morning. You get a crowd of people and you're so thankful they're here and you want them to come back. But I got to tell you, rebellion is a sin. First Samuel chapter 15 says that rebellion is the sin of witchcraft. God's asking some of y'all to do some things and you're not doing it. I'm sorry. I'm just telling you, we need to listen and do what God says. Amen? Right. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest be. And he answered and he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded. I want you to think about this. This is important. This is the key of this whole thing this morning. This man was on a schedule. He had a certain amount of time to go to Jerusalem and to worship. and a certain amount of time to get back to do what he had to do. The number one reason why people don't serve Jesus like they should is because they say they don't have time. He was over the whole treasury house. If he didn't show up on time, you know what that meant to him? But he says, wait a minute. What's most important is we stop right now. Where I'm at, what I'm doing, I'm stopping. All of that's going to take care of itself. Jesus has got to come first. He's got to be number one. He won't settle for the second place in your life. He won't settle for the second place in my life. It's all or it's none. So it's not what we say we believe. It's what we do after we've spoken. Amen? And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Hallelujah. Now, what's baptism? Baptism is a symbol of just as Jesus was laid in that tomb, and then when he come up out of that tomb, he come up into a brand new life. That's what it is to you and I. We were baptized. We go under the water. It's a type of this old man going away. And when we come up out of the water, being brand new. Now, baptism doesn't save you. Only the blood of Jesus saves you. Only the blood of Jesus saves me. But it is an outward sign of testimony to everyone of this inward change that Jesus has done in our life. Amen? I know I'm running out of time, but real quick. I want you to notice how good God is. Philip had to go and walk in this desert heat 100 miles in perfect timing to meet this Ethiopian. But God had something else for him to do, and look how God done it. Verse 39. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip. Think about it. Called away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he, the eunuch, went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus. Passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. When we do the hard things for God, and all of a sudden, God will bless us like we've never been blessed before. Can you imagine? He walked in them sandals that for that 100 miles in the desert. And all of a sudden, when he come up out of the water, God put him immediately where he needed to be to do the work of the Lord. Glory. It's not written, but if God would do that for Philip, what do you think about God doing it for the Ethiopian? Because he had to be there, and he had to be there on time. It's not too late this morning. I don't care what the doctor says. I don't care what the bank says. I don't care what anybody in the world says. I just care what Jesus says. So this morning, what we want to do is just, in the name of Jesus, we command our outward senses just to be quiet. And we ask the Father, in the name of Jesus, for our spirit to be quick and tuned in to the Holy Ghost. And each one of us, hear what the Spirit of God would say to us this morning. And when he speaks, we say, we believe. But we don't stop there. We act on what we said we believed, and we do what he tells us to do. I'll tell you the power of God real quick. There's a man had to have 2 stents in emergency surgery because he was going to die. They put those 2 stents in. A year later, he'd been praying for God to heal his circulatory system and confessing scriptures and telling Jesus what he believed. He went back to the same doctor, and the doctor says, we need to check those stents. Make sure that nothing is building up around those stents. They went inside this man. I heard it in my own ears out of his own mouth in the church. The doctor couldn't find either stent. Now, you can believe it or not, I believe him. Why would he lie to me? You know what God said about all liars? They have their place in the lake of fire. Come on now. If God can take two stents out of a man, what do you need this morning? There's somebody here this morning. God has been dealing with you about doing some things, and you just won't do it. You're letting other little things get in the way. You're letting the little foxes, as the Bible says, spoil the vine. You've asked God to help you. This message has come today to answer your prayer. But there's other people that need other things this morning. So I invite you. I'm going to pray. And I invite you to come and make yourself an altar. And you come in faith. And you let the Lord do what He wants to do in your life this morning, whatever it might be. He wants to kindle a fire in some of us. He wants to bring healing in others. He wants to deliver. You know, the children of Israel, they walked around in praise and the walls of Jericho fell. Some of you this morning, you just need to come up here and start praising God. And the thing that has you bound in is going to fall to the ground under the name of Jesus. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we praise you, we worship you, we honor you. I thank you for this wonderful time that we've had in your word. I thank you for every person that's here. Lord, I speak a blessing over them. And I ask you right now that by the Spirit of God, that they hear from you like they've never heard before. That they're drawn with the cords of your love. And Lord, that as they accept and receive everything you'd have for them, they'll leave this place completely free, completely healed in the promises of God. And as we go out to the baptism as part of this service, there'll be such praise and such rejoicing, Lord, that it'll kilter over into all of this community for your glory. We ask you, Father, in Jesus' name. Would you come this morning? Would you come and say, Lord, I know that you said that by your stripes I was healed. So I know you're talking to me. By your stripes, you took stripes for everything that I'm dealing with. And by your stripes, I am the healed of the Lord. I believe that. I received that this morning. I act on whatever you tell me to act on. Or maybe this morning you need peace about something. Your word tells me that the mind that Isaiah 26:3, the mind that is stayed upon the Lord is kept in perfect peace. So you're going to help me. You're going to teach me how to keep my mind stayed on you. I repent for not doing quickly what you have called me and asked me to do. And I ask for victory, deliverance, to be able to do that this morning. Every person that Jesus touched, they made a step toward Him when it was by their faith. And He made the last step toward them. And He made the impossible possible.